This morning hour, I'd like to look into the Word of God. He's been distributing the Word of God, and I don't know if Mike had his calculator here and got all those statistics down. It's incredible when I heard these numbers, the thousands of Bibles going out. And then I know they do a good work, and I looked around the house, and I remember getting this New Testament many years ago. And I look, and I have more than one version of the Bible. And then we heard from Dan Keller not too long ago over in Albania about he had no difficulty distributing the Word of God. And these people were just hungry to be able to get into the Word of God and study it and see what God has to say about it. And we have all these freedoms, and it was already alluded to this morning that these countries that are coming out of communism, you have more freedoms with distributing the Word of God, proclaiming the gospel, than we have in our own country. And you see our liberties slowly being taken away from us, and people always being challenged by groups like the Civil Liberties Group and so forth. And so when you see these things, it makes you stop and think, how long are we going to have the liberty to be able to sit in our homes and open our Bibles and study and see what God has to say to us? I was thinking way back of how our Bibles even came, and I said, well, that'd be a good subject of how many books, like from Sunday school, you learned that, oh, yeah, there's 66 books, and what, there are 40 different men wrote the different books of the Bible, but the author was God himself. He authored the whole Bible. And so some verses came to mind, and that's not what I'm going to talk about. What I really want to talk about is how the wisdom of God that we find in the Word of God. But just let me read a couple verses in the first chapter of Hebrews. It says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. And when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And he's the one we're going to be talking about this morning. The one who we don't have to wait for some prophet. You think of some of the Old Testament passages we read where Israel was always falling out of the graces of God, and then they'd go in a cyclic pattern, and God would bring them back and draw them back to himself, and then the people would have to stand before the Levites and the priests and so forth, and they would read the Word of God for hours on end. And you stop and consider and think, would we be willing to come for even an hour Sunday morning and stand like in the Nordic church? They didn't have pews like we have, and have the Word of God read for hour on end. But this is how the Word of God, and to think of the ease that God, through his wisdom, has provided his Word for us in written form in all the various language. Even though there's a verse in Ecclesiastes about the 8th chapter. It said that the end of a thing is better than the beginning. And when I read that, I said, well, how can that be? You look around and you see kids who start off just great and maybe they drop out of school, or young people who get into a marriage and all of a sudden the marriage doesn't last long. And it didn't end up too good. You say, well, definitely we're talking about God. When God is in it, things, the end is much better than the beginning. And so we find that with God, the end is much better. And so how God can bring all these things to pass, and it's through his infinite wisdom that he does it. So some verses come to mind when I think about God beginning with us with creation. And maybe we can just look at a psalm. Psalm 136. Pages are sticking together this morning. Sorry about that. This is a unique psalm. It's really a hymn. And after each verse, if you notice, it has a chorus. And Mike, you being a song leader, when's the last time you had a song with 26 verses to it? And the chorus was, "His mercy endureth forever." That's when you read through here. So I'm going to skip over the chorus and just read some verses out of here. Starting down here with verse 5. It says, "To him who by his wisdom the heavens..." Well, it has to do with God's works. Let me back up a little bit here. "We're giving thanks to the Lord." Verse 4, "To him alone doth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who by his wisdom made the heavens." Okay, verse 6. "He stretched out the earth above the waters." Verse 7, "He made great lights." And then verse 8 explains them. "The sun to rule by day." 9, "The moon and the stars to rule by night." And so here, in this hymn, this Hebrew hymn here, he's explaining God's wonders and his wisdom in creation. And how many of us haven't got involved in looking into nature and enjoy the wonders of it? And it's past our understanding and finding out how all these things function. We can make great studies of things, and we can say, well, these are natural laws, and we have springtime and summer and fall and winter, and the seasons follow each other, and all these things, and how the animals reproduce and how they live, and all the various things of creation when it comes from the rocks and the minerals, or we get into the animal world or into the higher life and the human beings, and all these different aspects that God in his wisdom. And then you can even go further and just start, as we start getting older, we start having different aches and pains and problems. You start looking at the human body and you say, wow, how we're put together. How many of us at one time or another haven't got a hold of one of these medical books that have all these colored pages that show you how all the parts go together and how things work. And you just have to wonder at God's wisdom and how he's put all this together. And then I think back in that verse in Proverbs I was talking about where God had finished creation and all these wonderful things, all these things we're talking about. And we find that after 6 days, he had done all this wonderful work. And then he created man, and we find it was just a short time that sin enters the scene. And then there's another verse that comes to mind where the Lord Jesus says, "My Father and I worketh hitherto." And he was talking about working out a plan of salvation for you and for myself. And this in itself is so much wisdom connected with this. In 1 Corinthians, keep your finger in chapter 136 of Psalms, because I'm going to come back to that. But if we can... go back over to 1 Corinthians. And here we have where the gospel message is talked about. Down in verse 18, I think we'll start there. It says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that preach foolishness, but unto us who are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that is the wisdom of God, the foolish the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to be saved them that believe. For the Jews, they require a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Gentiles foolishness. But unto them who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." There in the last part of verse 24, it's by his power and by his wisdom. So he created all things by, we read elsewhere about with his power. He has sustaining power to sustain the universe. And here in redemption we have, it's by his power and by his God's wisdom. Back to Psalm 136 in this hymn that we have here with these 26 verses. We have an Old Testament picture. Let's see, we left off reading or singing the last part of verse 9. Starting with verse 10, I like this because you can just go through here so nicely. And here it talks about to him who smote Egypt. Verse 11, and brought out Israel from among them. Verse 12, with a strong hand. 13, to him who divided the Red Sea and made Israel to pass through the midst. Verse 15, and overthrew Pharaoh and his host. And to him who led the people through the wilderness. We'll just read so far and we'll sing the chorus. For his mercy endureth forever. I like Old Testament pictures, and here we have a beautiful one. We pick it up here with the children of Israel already spending over 400 years of bondage in Egypt. And Egypt always speaks of the world. And in picture type here, Pharaoh always speaks of Satan. And how it wasn't the same Pharaoh and it wasn't the same Joseph that knew Pharaoh. And he saved the nations from starvation 400 years prior to this. Here they were enslaved in slavery. And isn't that just like sin? It starts off, it's sweet, and so forth. But the verse says, the wages of sin is death. You know, when it bringeth forth death. And what a picture type we have here in Egypt. And we find that the cry went up to God. And once again, he was going to work with his chosen nation, the children of Israel. And we're reminded once again that they weren't a great nation. The Lord explained to him why he chose them as his chosen people to proclaim his word and be the keeper of his word here in this world, because they were least of all the nations. And we find that he raised up Moses, and he raised up different ones at that time. And we're reminded of how these plagues came and how Pharaoh, how he resisted all God's demands to let his people go. And then we find that after a certain length of time of God dealing with Pharaoh, forget exactly a chapter now. It's in Exodus. But there's a verse there that says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Many years ago, I read that verse, and I says, my, it's bad enough when you see people or you have neighbors or relatives that have a hardened heart towards God's things. But when God does the hardening, it's past my understanding. In my work, the type of equipment we design and build, I get into areas where we have materials that are extremely hard, and it becomes a real challenge to build equipment that can work and live in what they have to do in that terrain. And so just thinking about creation and thinking about these things and how hard that must be when God does the hardening. But God hardened Pharaoh's heart in our little Old Testament picture here. And finally, we have the beautiful picture of the lamb that had to be sacrificed, a picture of Christ who had to shed his blood there on Calvary. And that blood had to be applied to the doorpost and the lintel. And the Lord said, when I see the blood, I will pass over. And when you consider our picture type here, the children of Israel didn't have to do good works. They didn't have to say penance and do all these different things that some people try to build into our religious form. They had to apply the blood. And how important it is that we understand that God in his wisdom provided redemption for you and for me. That he provided that shed blood. Just as we came together this morning and remembered him and how we had the loaf separate from the cup. What does that speak of? It speaks of death, doesn't it? The Lord Jesus went into death for us, that we might have life and have life everlasting. And so this picture goes on here, speaking about God's greatness, speaking about his mercy. But you know, I can think back as a young man when I came to know the Lord. It wasn't long after, and probably you experienced the same thing. You experienced this joy and so forth, and that old nature was still in there, and you found yourself doing things that you know weren't right. And Satan comes in, you're not saved anymore. You're not saved. How can the Lord save a guy like you? You know, you tell the preacher that you accepted the Lord, but look at the way you're behaving. Well, let's look at our picture a little more here. We see where Pharaoh finally allowed them to escape. And then we see where the Lord led them in his wisdom into a place where any person who, because when they left Egypt, they came down there with just a small company, one family. And we find here they left, and some Bible students tell us that it was between maybe 2 to 3 million people left Egypt. And where they went into the desert, and the mountains on one side, the Red Sea over there. And by that time, Pharaoh, he changed his mind about what he had done. Here they left all their slaves go. He said, well, we'll get our chariots going and get all our armed people, and we'll pursue them. We're going to get right back here and get them back to work. But in God's wisdom, we see, and the children of Israel are starting to panic there. And they go to their leader, Moses. And the Lord tells Moses, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And you know, the Lord miraculously opened the Red Sea to cross on dry land. But you don't know another wonderful thing in a morning. The sea closed on Pharaoh and all his host. This is an Old Testament picture, brothers and sisters, to me. when I had a terrible struggle with being saved and being lost again, this is what the Lord showed me. That here, the children of Israel were on the other side of the sea, and here was Pharaoh drowned in the sea. No longer can he take you out of that position of being saved. And you know, if you read a little further down, as Miriam, Aaron, Moses' brother and his sister, this is the first time you hear them doing any singing. They weren't doing any singing all the while they were in the world in Egypt. And many years ago, when I struggled with this, I used this here, and the Lord showed me. And then he said that no man can pluck you out of my hand, the assurance that we have. So if there's anyone here this morning that was maybe struggling with this fact that once you put your faith and trust in the Lord, that Satan come in and take your joy away. He can't take your soul away, but he can sure work at taking your joy away. And you just have to turn back once again to Calvary and say, no, the Lord paid my price for my sins there on Calvary. And we can have that assurance. You talk about God's wonderful wisdom and redemption. He redeemed, he devised this plan. He carried the plan forward. He brought it to fruition. And here we can sit back, and he gives us his precious word that we can look in here and see the truth that we are saved. We're saved for all eternity. So when Satan comes with these placing these thoughts in our minds and questioning things and so forth, you know, he, in one portion of Scripture, he says that he is the accuser of the brethren. He's always there accusing. And he's subtle, he's very subtle. We have to be careful of these things. When Satan came and tried the Lord after that 40 days when the Lord was in fasting, he would use Scripture but misquote it. Oh, be careful when you hear people quoting Scripture and how they use it. It's so subtle that they can bring false doctrine. Just as a portion we read in Timothy, Mike was reading about, and that was just an early century of the church, how quickly they were being warned about false teachers coming in and so forth. So we have to be on guard about that. Okay, we looked at God's wisdom in creation, in his redemption, and then well, let's go back to the New Testament over in Ephesians, the third chapter. Let's go down to verse 18, that we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus through all ages, world without end. And so, just selected this portion here because here we have such an important part of God in the church. And we find that when we get into other portions that like Corinthians, where Paul is describing the church and how the church is formed by all saints who are made up of and make the body of Christ, Christ being the head and being led by the Spirit of God, and how we're to function within the church, and how we have all of us having various gifts and various abilities, and how the Lord uses each and every one of us. And I remember back when I was just a young fella, and our family didn't have a Bible in our house, and it was a dysfunctional family, and Dad would spend a paycheck at the corner bar, and neighbor lady felt sorry for our family, talked to my mom, talked to her about the Lord's things. And that's how we became introduced to a chapel down on the south side, and that's how the gospel came into our house. And so I think about her, and I think of how she was used by the Lord to introduce our family to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we could spend the whole morning, I think, just relating different things. And we were just talking about Dan Keller earlier, and he come from our assembly, and how the Lord laid on his heart to go back to Luan's home country to be used of the Lord there with all these refugees coming out of Kosovo. And so you see the Lord's wisdom in the church. We don't understand these things. And like our brother was sharing earlier, as far as how Brother McCulley made that statement about God makes no mistakes. And I remember him using that many times, that God makes no mistakes. We don't understand these things. God in his word says that my ways are above your ways, my thoughts are above your ways. And so there's wisdom connected with the church. But we have to wait on the Lord for him to show us what his path is for us, what it is for individuals. Then afterwards, it's so wonderful to see how these things are all worked out. Someone has used this more than once as far as an illustration. I had a mother who did a lot of handwork and needlework, and you probably all heard this explanation about a piece of tapestry that you work and work on this thing, and when you look on the wrong side, it just looks like a mumble jumble of threads and all so forth. But when you turn it over, and then you have the beautiful picture or whatever that gal that was doing that needlework was working on. And they expressed this here, that probably we'll have to wait until we're in glory to see the other side of God's tapestry, and to see how all things work together for good. But there is wisdom connected with the Church of God. And of course, we could go back to the Psalms. And I like reading the Psalms, but I see our time is kind of sliding by, or maybe we have a few minutes yet. Well, let me just relate a couple things in the Psalm, like David. Back in Psalm 119, there's a verse that says that God's word makes us wiser than our enemies. And I just will kind of skim over that. I'll just, if you're taking the passage is marked down for you to look at later, fine. It's in Psalm 119, verse 98, the one that comes to mind that I had marked down here this past week. And it talks about the wisdom and how important it is that God's wisdom that we find in his word makes us wiser than our enemies. Because we talked earlier about the enemies we do have in this world. Our warfare is a spiritual warfare. And when we look around, and you see the number of young Christians that have lost their lives in these school shootings and so forth, and they have a real testimony that they were believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's coming from a warfare of a spiritual warfare to actual warfare. And the fellow I work with, his daughter was explaining to him that there's this group that's being mentioned on TV and so forth, that they exist here in Milwaukee, and they in a local high school that she attends, where they're past just playing board games or TV games like Dungeons and Dragons, which has a satanic base to it. This is not for them. They have to act it out. So actually what he was saying was that some of these killings and shootings were things that you act out. I don't know that much about Dungeons and Dragons or something, and I don't care to learn about it. But you can see where our enemies are coming from being a spiritual warfare to being actual warfare, where Christians are being, their lives are being taken. And I think some of the previous school shootings we had, they were actually kids who had gotten permission to have Bible study before school started. And this individual came in there and what a terrible thing, and how many Christians lost their lives in that incident. So Satan is really busy. So we have got enemies, but God's word makes us wiser than our enemies. And then you have to have at least 4 or 5 points. So if you bear me with one fifth point I'd like to look at, and that's in Revelation chapter 21. So many times we have a difficult week. We have all these difficult things happening. Jane and I had a difficult thing. We had to go to a funeral where a person was not, we had no idea if, I know my mother had talked to her, and I think even my father had witnessed to her. She passed away, and yesterday was her funeral, so here we had to go there, and all these people gathered there, the loved ones and everything. And this guy, he had a little cursor with some holy water, and he, that was their hope, that because she was baptized or sprinkled, that she was going to heaven. That got to me so bad to think. I almost stood up and said, no, it's not that way. I didn't want to disrupt the whole funeral process. It's not that way. It's through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, in Revelation chapter 21, I just want to close with the closing chapter. We started in creation, might as well close in Revelation. We end up in heaven, all the terrible judgments and all the millennium and the thousand-year reign of Christ, and they still rebel against him, and then the great white throne, and we go through all these things, and here we've come all the way to chapter 21, and here we are with the Lord. And I saw, reading from the first verse of chapter 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from the eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And what wisdom God has in a whole new creation. And so my verse I was thinking about back in Ecclesiastes there, that the end is better than the beginning. And it certainly is. And I can't help but think, I think there's a brother in one of our worship meetings a couple of weeks ago says, well, you know, the Bible begins with God presenting Eve to Adam, starts with a marriage, it's going to close with a marriage. The church, you and I, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, are going to be married to the Lamb, to Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessed, a wonderful hope we have that we can look forward to in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if there be any here this morning hour that is outside of Christ, it's just by simple faith. Nothing you can do. You have to be like the children of Israel that just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Look to Calvary. Put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have trouble with sin, you have trouble with Satan bothering you with being saved and have to be saved again, all over again, that's not what the scriptures say. You have to get on the other side of the Red Sea and look back and see Pharaoh, Satan, a picture of Satan, drowned in the depths of the sea, and then join Mary in what a hymn of thanksgiving and praise for deliverance. Maybe we just close in a word of prayer. Our blessed God and Father, we just come before you once again, thanking you for who you are, thanking you for your greatness and your wisdom over all things, thanking you for your power for bringing all things into being. And you thank you that you sustain all things by the power of thy word. And we would pray now for all the things that we've had before us this morning. And we thank you for the Gideons and thank you for their work of distributing this wonderful word. And we thank you that we have the privilege of having thy word so freely at hand that we can look into it and see all your wonderful promises. And we pray that we'd be faithful in proclaiming thy word to those round about us. Pray once again for our brother Dan over in doing thy work there, and we pray for all these families who have lost loved ones because of this school slayings, and oh, there's so much for us to be praying for that we just bring all these needs before you. So we pray that thou would dismiss us now and watch over us throughout this day, asking and praying these things in your most precious and worthy name. Amen.